Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but that'll make an Episcopalian shout right there. I mean, my Lord, heaven's going to be lots of shouting. There's going to be some choirs over there. Bass, soprano, alto, tenor. Second tenors. Amen. Oh, me and Brandon was traveling to Mulvane, Kansas last week, going to the Steer Roping National Finals. By the way, man, I want to thank Daryl, Ricky, Jane, Laurie, and Brandon for going. And we did church there, and praise God. It was a great time. It was a very powerful message. And, man, God's doing some major work. And then, as y'all know, I flew to California on Friday, got to San Jose, and dropped down to little town, Gilroy, California. And I was at, that's a main road goes from San Jose to Los Angeles, 101. And they have a sale barn right on the road. And really, that's the only place. Think about it. It was the only place they would let them have a memorial service. They tried to do it at the Salinas Rodeo Fairgrounds. I helped them out because Salinas calls it Rodeo. I said, but in Texas, we call it Rodeo. And so I said it both ways just to make them all happy. But I'm here to tell you, we got to meet, and we got to see God show up and just bless His people through a memorial service for a neat woman that I sang at her the very first Christian concert before she started a show. I got to sing in the very first Christmas, or it was a Christian concert there in Salinas at the rodeo. Several years ago, it was like in the upper 90s, lower 2000s. And so just to see what God's doing all over the place. But back to Mulvane, Kansas, when me and Brandon was driving there, it was amazing that we just began to, you know me, people that travel with me, all those cowboys are always asking, you went with Corey Ross? Did he read the Bible the whole time? No, definitely not. I mean, I got to drive, okay? I mean, you don't want to drink and drive. I mean, read the Bible and drive. So to see what God's doing in this land is an amazing thing. And so we have new people here this morning. It's a pleasure, and I mean it. A lot of people wonder, what the heck is a cowboy church? And do you have to be a cowboy? No. Cowboy Church was started in really by, by the way, Lynette, would you stand up? And I honor Lynette. They have a beautiful, awesome wave at them. Hello. I know there's other ministers, but y'all, we're used to y'all. And y'all are part of our church. Amen. But Lynette and Darren have a wonderful church just around the Greeley, Colorado area. Man, what an amazing thing that they tell me happened at the women's conference. So I honor you. Thank you so much. I honor my wife, Jamie. Oh, girl. I saw some pictures. Woo, baby. I mean, you were beautiful. You were. And I got a message while she was preaching. And I appreciate it. Katie sent me a message just telling me how awesome you did. And then Heather Johnson, just what an amazing women's conference that we had. You know, these kind of things you don't want to miss. So I implore the men this coming Saturday, do not miss the men's conference. We had almost 170 or 80 women into this place. I mean, they had an amazing time. These are the things that we desperately need. So I implore men, we only have 50 that signed up. It shouldn't be that way. Because men, we need this more today than any other time. We need to be able to come together. And so I want to encourage you, we'll hunt the next weekend. This is not a time to pick hunting over your spiritual growth, because we need that today. And so I want you to go to the website and sign up. And we start at noon. We're going to have some fajitas. I'm going to give about $500 away in gift cards to Bass Pro Shop and things like that. And so, ladies, make your men go. They tell me you have power. I don't know about y'all, but this is not a time to back away. This the world has gotten us so busy that we go, well, I just don't want to go. No, you want to go, because that's what's going to cause you to retain that spiritual energy that you need in the busyness of this world. Amen? So when you can, today, we kind of need a count. Where's Gordon? We need that count by when? Wednesday? Maybe Thursday morning? You know how men are, we? But listen to me, men, let's make it a pact. Me and Rusty and Chip Brim's going to be here to minister, and it's going to be incredible. We're not going to be here forever. We're going to be here Saturday. We're going to start at noon. We'll be done hopefully by 5 or 6, 7 o'clock in that area, maybe 10 to 11, down in that area. I'll tell you what, though, it's going to be a moving time that us men need. Please come. New people, thank you for being here. I know you passed several churches probably getting to this, unless you live across the street. And I know some live across the street that come. But I'm here to tell you, it's a pleasure to have you. So, what we love to do with new people, hopefully when you came in, they caught you, they gave you a visitor packet. If you hadn't already, inside that visitor packet is a card. It's a visitor card and a pen. And we want you to fill it out just so we can have a record that you came. We're going to lift up Doris. Doris that normally calls people one time. She welcomes you. If you have prayer requests, want to know anything about this church, just ask her. But we're going to lift her up. She's at home. She's battling a little bit of things going on in her body. So we're going to command that body to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here, you've never been to Cowboy Church before, just right where you're at, would you mind to allow us just to welcome you? I know how my church does. We welcome people. All we need you to do, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you just raise your hand, let us say hello to you? Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks, y'all, for coming. Thank y'all. Thank you, brother. Honored to have you. Thank you so much. Amen. Now, if you didn't get a visitor packet, let us know and we'll shoot. We have some of the most amazing ushers that they run. They come here usually at 5 in the morning, and all of them jog. And I'm kidding. That was by faith. They're like, we do? Glory be to God. Well, don't wait on me, John. It's an honor to be able to clap for tithes and offerings, please. I want to take you as they pass out some offering envelopes. And by the way, I'm reminded by the Lord and my wife to thank people that give to me and Jamie. So I don't ever want to say anything, because when the Lord told me not to take a salary at this church, that's what it was for. So we only operate by a love offering. And a lot of people, you can tithe to a minister. Don't ever misunderstand that. A lot of people know you're tithe to the local church. Well, you do, but what pays for the minister? What pays his salary usually at other churches? The tithe. And so what we've taught here is how to be led by the Spirit of God. And you say, God, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm going to plant this seed of a tithe. And then you go on above that to the offering, and then to the first fruits and the alms. And I mean, once you start learning That's exactly how me and my wife live, is by our giving. And so I want to show you something in Genesis chapter 8. And I want you to remember this. If you have a Bible, flip over there. The very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 8. I've quoted this so many times, but I want you to see it for yourself. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Now, I realize we're talking about finances here because the majority of my counseling sessions are about finances. I've found out also by studying the Word that what causes a lot of sickness and disease is worry, fear, doubting, anxiety. And when you have those things about finances, not being able to take a vacation or, you know, trying to get into a place of overflow or, you know, just to pay the bills, a lot of times that causes a lot of fear and those kind of things, which then affects your flesh. And that's why a lot of people get sick. And then I'm praying for them. It's because they're worried about something. And a lot of times, since we live in an economy, then we have temptations to be worried about it a lot of times. Man, I could give you testimony after testimony of my family. Us mom and dad sending 3 boys to college on a rancher's salary. I mean, I think I remember the ranch in Fort Stockton, Texas. I believe they got like $1,200 a month, a half a beef, and a house to stay in. Therefore, my dad had to train. We would line up 10 colts on the side, and he needed us 3 boys to go and ride them and help him in that. And then I'll never forget him shoeing horses, having to go and shoe horses. I mean, because $1,200 a month, my Lord. I mean, that's one pair of shoes for my wife. Maybe 2. I mean, she's like, yeah, right. I mean, 3. And think about that, then trying to send some boys to college. You know what my first car was? Most of you know, but some of you new people, you know what my first car that they bought me were? It was a 1976 Lincoln Town car. Because our rancher friend, the grandma, owned it. That's what they hooked up the one horse to and went to the rodeos. Huh. I'm a senior in high school, guys. A Lincoln Town car with the covers over half of the back wheels. Come on now. I mean, that thing was so big, we tried to break the Guinness Book of World Records of putting high school kids in it. We put 17 in there. Seriously, we'd lay them down. But all the rest of my friends had Dually trucks, and I had a Lincoln Town car. I sold it for what we bought it for. I mean, I'm telling you, a black friend of mine with a gold tooth bought that thing, and he loved it. I loved it too, but not for a college or a high school kid. You see, mom did whatever and dad did whatever they could for us to survive. And we worked. Listen to me. Genesis, verse 22. You see it? While the earth remaineth. What does that mean? While the earth remains. Would y'all agree that the earth is still here? Look what it says. While the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, this is the most important part, shall not cease. We're always going to have seed time harvest. If you start learning that that's God's economy, sowing, and reaping. You go to Galatians, you'll start seeing how whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when you're talking about finances, when you start sowing it, and then there's some time for it to germinate, right? There's always going to be a harvest. If we get into God's economy, that's when the Bible comes to pass. I'll show you a man or a woman that owes no man but to love them. You'll get out of debt. You won't have any worry. It won't be paycheck to paycheck. Well, yeah, but how's that going to happen? Well, because of the anointing of sowing. When you sow finances into the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, they'll grow if you'll just trust it, if you'll have faith. So, as we give into this bucket, as we give into that bucket, I want you to give with that thought in mind. We're sowing a seed into the kingdom of God to further the gospel of Jesus. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. And we're going to have a good special. Amen. Would y'all welcome Janet as she sings a special while you give?
I want to tell y'all what, Lord, yesterday we had us a meeting, I'm telling you what. And it wasn't just a girl meeting, it's a God meeting now. We had a real fire in here, and we had the fire of the Holy Ghost too. And you know what? We had to open them two doors because we was hoping the sprinkler didn't come on and ruin everybody's hair and stuff, you know. It would have been bad. But I'm telling you, there were some breakthroughs. And this place was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and the breakthrough. And I pray that was just the beginning of the repentance. That was just the beginning of the breakthrough. It'll be in this service, in the men's conference. It will go out into this community because of what happened here yesterday. It was amazing. I thank y'all so much for what happened here yesterday. It was power from the throne of God. It was. I want to say Psalm 91 this morning over our pastor, our president, each one of you, our country. We need the word. We need the word to go forth. Y'all just raise your hands and receive the promise of the Lord this morning. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not fear for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and 10,000 at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Therefore there shall no evil befall thee, nor shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The promises of the Lord, y'all, is so relevant for this time. It's so relevant for this time. We can't speak our fears. We got to speak word. We learned this yesterday. The enemy is bold right now. We got to be bold. Enemy is in your face. We got to be in His face. It's what we got to do. It's what we got to do. He's a chain. Jesus is a chain breaker. Amen. Turn it up real loud. Y'all stand up and sing this with me if you want to. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies.
Thank you, Lord.
and you're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. Yes. If you got pain, he's a paycheck. Y'all clap. You feel lost, well, he's a way maker. Yes, he is. You need freedom, saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. Yes. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out by the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, well, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. Yes, yes. You believe it, and you receive it. And you can feel it. Somebody testify. Yeah, y'all say yes. You believe it. And you receive it. Receive it. And you can feel it. Somebody testify. Yeah. You believe it. And you receive it. And you can feel it. Somebody testify. Yeah. Well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Whoa, you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Yeah. Break every chain.
Oh, give her a hand. Come on. Thank you, girl.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. I got her, Mama.
We got this, y'all.
We got this.
We got this. Y'all finna see a new me.
Glory be to God. Well, with a big round of applause, let's dismiss Kids Church and our youth group out the back end. Amen. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. The reason that we clap for those, the kids' church and the youth group leaving, is we want to speak life to them. We want to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's jump into it. I have a lot of time. As y'all know, thank you for allowing me to be who I am. I've been gone for about 3 Sundays, 3 weeks, ministering at different places. We started this church 16 years ago, and the Lord has never allowed me to not continue to travel. And here's the reason. Because no one else will, a lot of times. And so... I'm continuing to go out there, and that means I have to be away from our church for just a short time. And sometimes it's caused trouble. Because, I understand it too. People want their pastor to be here. But there's something about, doing what God says to do and being obedient to that. So God has placed people in this church with Howdy. And with Ricky, and with different ones, even Rusty, and so on, the ones that lead our Bible studies, and they carry on. And so there's going to be times when I've got to get out there because the harvest is ripe. And it's time that we get people born again. Now, you're going to be taken care of here. We're going to continue to preach that word. So when I leave, it's for a reason. It's so that I can continue to obey the Lord. Now, if He tells me to stop, then I'm here. But that's what I do. And I'm going to get out there and just continue to tell people about Jesus. And thank God, as God just continues to get me busier and busier, then there's provision in other ways. Amen. I'd have never thought that I'd be really able to tell people that I'm believing for an airplane so I can get back to my church, but I am. And it's time. And by the way, if you're a pilot, I need you too. Because it's time that that I do this job as well. So with that said, 3 weeks ago, I ministered in some areas that I believe God is continuing to have me minister in to cause the body to be more effective in these last days. I mean, we need to be prepared for things that are going on. As you saw, a crazy election take place. And don't be in fear and have anxiety about that, because no matter what happens, we planted our seed. And when you plant your seed and you live by the kingdom ways, you live by this Bible as it was declared to us, Psalms 91. I mean, that's protection, man. We need that today. And so, but my job is to make sure that this church primarily and the people that I'm around are prepared for the things that will go on in these last days. Because I see it. When you're out there in the field, out there, I mean, it's very comfortable being in this building. But when you get out there and minister, and you've got to see and deal with the things that I have to deal with in a spiritual way, then, ooh, you better be strong in your faith. So my job is to get us with the understanding that we're going to see around us a lot of things going on. It's going to be chaotic. But here's the deal. We don't have to participate. We don't have to participate in the ways of this world. We live in this world, but we don't live of this world. We are set apart. We are called to be peculiar. We are different. Why? Because we're in the kingdom of God. And His ways are not man's ways. His ways are different. They're higher. They're better. And if we'll remain in His way, then you'll start seeing where, man, you may see some things going on out there, but they won't affect you. They won't affect your finances if you won't participate in things like fear. That's why we've prayed Psalms 91 over this church. I pray it every time I come to this place, because that's why we haven't had an outbreak of a coronavirus. Why? Well, because she read it earlier in Psalms 91, no plague shall come near our bodies. It shouldn't come near us. But if we get into fear, that's when it comes. And so I want to minister just another message to help us stay hooked in the kingdom of God in these last days. Even though you're living around all the stuff that's going on, you don't have to live of it again. So let's start out in Amos. I've been preaching this message for about 3 weeks in different places, and I told every single crowd, I haven't even preached this at my own church, but I'm doing it today. Because we all need this. Amos chapter 3. So go to the front of your Bible if you have to the table of contents and find Amos. There's no pride in, we don't go to that book a lot. So sometimes we start flipping. We don't come across it too fast. Go to the front of your Bible and find out where Amos, and go to chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. And when you finally find it, say amen. Amen. Hey, is most everybody there? Is anybody still looking? Say, oh me. Okay, I'm waiting on you. You got it? Look at Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now I want you to underline that word agree, because it's really important to the kingdom of God, because we need people in agreement today. Because see, there's power in agreement. Now, before I really start studying it, I want you to flip over to your right, all the way in the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us to read just a few things that that we have here. I think they're important. Yeah, what did I do with my glasses? Huh? No. These are the ones I just found right here. Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Got them. Found them. Because these are more powerful. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at a few things. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Underline that word us. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, underline that, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward, you getting it? In all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. Now, flip over to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved, say it loud, us, even when we were dead to sin, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, there's something about agreement. There's something about us doing things together. That's why I told the crowd in California that it was an assignment of the devil, even still going on in California, even still going on even in places in Austin where churches are still not meeting. Because the enemy, if he can get people apart, if he can get you segregated, if he can get you in social distances, if he can get you a mask where they can't see your face, then that's his design. You see, because there's something about assembling us together, us together, because there's power when we come together. I'm reminded of another scripture in Matthew 18. Flip there real fast, because I want you to see these kind of things, because this is what's going to help us all. Matthew chapter 18. It's going to help us all continue to stand in these last days. You remember the Bible says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. When you've done it all, when you've done all you can do to stand, you keep standing. You keep believing. Because the worst thing we can do is back up to the days of Babylon. We don't need to back up from our faith. We don't need to back up from praying for our country. We don't need to back up from praying justice, praise God. I know a minister that is assigned to just preach and teach on the justice of God. Because I'm telling you, there's justice that will happen if we believers would just believe and pray. If we'll get on our knees and start praying, man, then there's justice for you and I. Matter of fact, I believe it's in Romans 5 verse 1 says that we are justified by faith. That word justified, you know what it means? We're declared righteous. Yeah, but I don't feel righteous. I haven't done everything righteous. Yeah, it doesn't matter though. If you're born again, you're declared righteous. Righteous simply means that we're in right standing with God. We're doing what's right. We're declared righteous. We're acquitted. Where's the judge? You understand when you hit that gavel, that we're acquitted. When a judge says you're acquitted, that's a good thing. That's why we're friends. I asked her a while back, if I get a ticket, Judge, in Williamson County, can I come to you? You know what she said? She said, absolutely. She said, didn't you? Quiet in the church. She said, preachers pay double. This way. But when that gavel's down and you're acquitted, it's kind of like the word that says when you ask God to forgive you, He cleanses you from all righteousness and remembers that sin no more. Why? Because you're acquitted. That's why Jesus died. That's why He shed His blood. That's why He was murdered on that cross. It's because He shed His blood so that you can be acquitted. And then that word justified means that you're given a right standing with Him. You're declared righteous, you're acquitted, and you're given a right standing with God. Okay, so look here at Matthew, because now we're talking about getting some agreement, right? God's needing us to stand up for godly principles. He needing us to not allow the busyness of this world to cause us not to be around, you know, Christian things. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, there's times when, you know, we don't have to be at everything in the church. But in these last days, I implore you that we need to be in most everything. I mean, we need to not allow the busyness of this world. That's why I'm so adamant about the men being at the conference. Because we need this. We need to be the leaders of our house. We need to be able to talk about some things that only men go through. That's what the ladies did. They was able to just confide in each other and understand each other. Well, that's how men are. And you know why our society is kind of messed up? It's because the enemy has attacked men. And men haven't been the men that God needed them to be in their families. And it's time that men stand up and become that man, that spiritual leader of their household. The one that... I remember I was at a house and the man was dying. Matter of fact, he died when I got there. And we was going to pray over him, and he was in his chair, and he died. He was right there. He went to heaven. He was the leader of that family. You know what happened when he went to heaven? They stopped coming to church because the other men didn't take up that mantle and begin to lead their families. So the women then have to take over, and they have to become the man. You see, I believe it's time that we start getting into agreement and be the people that God has called us to be, man. And you want to talk about power. Now listen to Matthew chapter 18, because again, we're going to build each other up. We're going to prepare ourselves that yes, the world's going to get wicked, but we don't live in this world, or we don't have to operate in this world. We just live around it, and we can be protected by the blood of Jesus. So what is there about agreement? Verse 19 of Matthew and 18. Matthew 18 and 19. I like the Amplified because it says, again, I tell you, if two, just two of you on earth agree I love this part because I kind of ministered on this at the ministers' conference last year. And it's fun because there's something about agreeing when two or more people come into this agreement. The Bible says in the Amplified, it's like a symphony. It's like harmony. Now, I'm a music guy, so I understand harmony. When me and Ricky and Joni, when we're blending, man, that harmony is so tight. Because that's what makes a symphony. There's not just one lead note. There's several in the symphony. There's several musicians that make the whole thing what it is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is agreement. That's when we come into agreement. And the Bible says that it's harmonized together, making a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. And that again is just two or more agreeing that whatever they ask is going to come to pass. Well, I don't know about y'all, but we need to agree that the enemy will not win, that a virus will not continue to destroy our churches and our people. And we're going to stand. We are protected by the blood of Jesus. We have that dunamis power, praise God. And when you have that dunamis power and you have a whole bunch of people agreeing, then there's no mountain that can stand in Jesus' name. That's when you can literally speak to it. I speak to that mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. But we need some agreement. Okay. Okay, so we've got some agreement. That's a very powerful tool in these last days. When I travel, I want people around me that's in agreement. Because there's a lot of attacks out there. I mean, a lot of times the fighting in churches are between Christians. He was rude to me. I didn't like how they did that. You know, I mean, all the things that we deal with in church, oh man. I mean, it's very crazy. Well, it's all designed to not be in agreement and have a thing called division. We need to get division out of our... Now, I know different ministers come, and if you're a mature Christian, you're not moved by what people look like. People will come, and man, when the anointing is flowing, you'll think, wow, these people are not moved. No. On the inside, their spirit is raging like you've never seen. So I want to give you permission this morning. If the Spirit of God moves you to shout amen, you do it. Because there's something about that agreement in a service even. Saying that, I agree with that. Amen. You see, when the Word of God is spoken, there's something about, yes, I believe that. I agree there. And you shout it out to me. Amen. Because there's something about that power of agreement. And we're going to come into agreement that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That the enemy that starts trying to destroy a marriage is not going to work. When the enemy's trying to divide us and make us upset and keep us at home watching on a television screen in your pajamas, when you think about everything else, when you go cook breakfast in your pajamas right during the message and you missed one of the most important parts. See, that's what's happening in our world. We don't want to stay here. We want to assemble, praise God, in a place with believers. I want someone around me that will agree that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath. I want someone agreeing with me that the enemy is defeated and my God will reign if I would just believe. I want someone agreeing with me that we rise up and we command this country to stay one nation under God. I don't want God taken out of this country. I just want someone agreeing that man, we are more than conquerors through God because He loves us. I want someone to agree this morning that I can and that you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. You see what I'm saying is there's something about agreeing. There's something about you and I coming in to agreement. Man, I'm for you and not against you. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you did last night. The blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. I just need someone in agreement that we're not going to push people down and we're going to rise them up. We're going to lift them up and edify them and build them up instead of tearing people down. Because I'm starting to see a lot of Christians doing that. But not. I want someone in agreement that says, hey, come on, brother. You can do it. Man, you're a mighty man of God. I want someone coming around me and saying, hey, come on. Pastor, man, I just want to tell you I'm lifting you up. Man, I know it's tiring out there and you're right in the middle of the enemy's camp. But man, I'm kind of excited to be out there. Because God chose the right one. That leads me to the next thing that I want you to get a hold of. The very first, one of the first battle weapons needs to be agreement. Because when we're in agreement, yeah, maybe it's going to get worse out there. Maybe this is a prophetic thing of the end times. But I need people in agreement that, you know what, I'm not missing church. I'm not missing a men's and women's conference. Man, I'm there. Now, I'm not talking about guilt and condemnation. If you did miss it, who cares? But I'm here to tell you there's things that we need to be a part of, and we don't need to let the world or the enemy keep us from some of these things. But here's something, the second thing, and I'll close on this. The second thing that I think we need desperately more than anything, it's going to be pretty obvious to you. Let's just look at it. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. If you're not living by this, I'm going to be in agreement that you'll start. Here's the second tool. This is the main one, really. This is one of the, that's how I'll say it. This is one of the greatest tools. This is the greatest tool that you desperately need. Hebrews chapter 4. You ready? Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12, ready? For the word, say it again, word, for the word of God is quick. Look at the Amplified. It says, for the word of God speaks is alive and full of power. I don't know about y'all, but we need power. Now, I'm not talking, most of y'all know the power that I'm talking about, that Greek word of power called dunamis power. Because dunamis power, remember, everybody understands dunamis power, same power that God had when he raised Jesus from the dead. In Christ Jesus, y'all realize you have that power, right? Do you have that power? A lot of people don't think they do. They don't know that they, you know what they feel like they're known of? Their sin. Do you know that God does not see you in that way? He doesn't see you because of your sin. He sees you in the likeness of God. He sees you in the image of himself. He created you. He calls you his daughter. He calls you his son. He doesn't see you as the old sinner saved by grace. He sees you as a royal priesthood. He sees you as an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He doesn't see you as your sin. He doesn't see you in the flesh. He sees you as the man of God that he called you to be. But you've got to believe that. If you don't believe it because of the trials and tribulations that you went through, then you're not going to be who God called you to be. But that's why we need the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Look what the Bible says about the Word, how it's alive and it's full of power. It makes active, it's operative, it's energizing, it's effective, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, think about that. You're not talking about one side that you've got to sharpen. I'm talking about a sharpened, two-sided man. When it goes into that enemy is destroyed by the power of God. Why don't we start using the Word of God, the Word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, to defeat that enemy? That enemy of lack, that enemy of doubt, that enemy of unbelief, that enemy of fear. I'm telling you, that spirit of fear is not right. It's not good. It's not of God. The Bible says that God didn't give us that spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of what? Power. The dunamis power, being in agreement with the power of God, man. That's what we need more than anything in this world, is we need the Word of God. We don't need to just read the book. We need to be a doer of it. Y'all remember when I tore the Bible up at the cowboy church down the road? They almost kicked me out when I tore the first pages out. That's the Holy Word of God. No, the book doesn't mean anything unless you be a doer of this book. That was my point. When I ripped the pages out, I remember Glenn Smith did the same thing years ago. He went to an old dead church full of unbelief, and he said, all you people that don't believe in, you know, all the things of the Bible like forgiveness, don't worry about it. We'll just take that part of it out of the Bible. And that's what I did. I tore pages out of the Bible and I threw them on the floor. And honestly, they almost kicked me out right then. I said, hold on. Hold on. I said, but there's also people that don't believe in tithing. Matter of fact, you get out there where I go and ask what tithing is, and people, even Christians, they'll go, I don't know. Well, it don't matter. If you don't believe in tithing, in first fruits, in offerings, in alms, no big deal. And I just ripped those pages out. Oh, what about... You know, what about that baptism of the Holy Ghost, being raised a Southern Baptist boy? We never talked about that stuff. We didn't talk about healing. Matter of fact, they told us that healing wasn't for everybody. Oh, really? And I looked and looked and couldn't find that in this Bible. But that's just what they said. They said healing went away with the old covenant. Oh, really? My Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. If he healed blind Bartimaeus, he's got to heal Corey Ross. He's got to heal you. Or he's a respecter of persons. He's just showing favoritism for that precious woman of God. But he might not like you as much because you hadn't been a very good boy. You see, that's what the devil wants you to believe. But the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what you and I need. But the enemy, oh man. He's trying to convince us. We don't need to be in politics. No, we need to be in politics more than any other thing, because it's us being out of politics is what's messed up our country. We backed off. We'll just be by ourselves. You are to live where Lynette lives, Colorado. I did a service in New Mexico one time, and I'm preaching, and literally, this is amazing. They were giving me amens with beer bottles. Amen, brother. I kid you not. You want to talk about marijuana being in her state? You want to fly with the birds? You can. But I suggest you not, because you end up hitting the ground really hard. When I learned how to fly, they told me a good landing is one that you can walk away. Amen. Listen, what am I saying this morning? I'm trying to get us a hold of this Word of God that's sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, the immortal spirit, and the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature. Doing what? Exposing in the Amplified and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. You know, time for playing around, it's over. You go over to the epistles. I love Ephesians, of course, because it talks about not being children tossed to and fro. Listen, look at me, look at me. Don't miss this. Don't miss this what I'm fixing to say. It's time that we stop being children. Baby Christians. I mean, just y'all, you have the helmet of salvation on and you're going to heaven if you leave this earth. But you need the rest of the body on. That's where the enemy's attacking. We don't need just the helmet on and the rest of our body is naked. We need all of it. We don't need to be children, been born again for 35 years, but yet still don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. No, we need to get the meat of the Word of God so that we can live in this world, but not of it. So that we can be the overcomers that God called us to be. That when all those people that desperately need you and your faith come in front of you, you'll be able to, with boldness, the boldness of Acts chapter 1. The boldness of when that power comes on you. I didn't finish earlier, but you know, there's a time when you start learning about the gifts, healing, prophecy, and so on. How about that tongue stuff? The very thing that they told us Southern Baptist kids was of the devil growing up. Now I know why. I know why they told us that. Number one, if you talk to any of my Baptist friends, they'll just tell you, well, I just don't understand it. But here's the thing. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you start learning about it in Acts and Corinthians and so on, and you have the evidence of speaking in tongues, which you know what that is, right? It's a prayer language. You know what the Bible says? No man understands it but God. Think about that. If God is the only one that understands it, then the devil can't. When you speak, Father, just thank you, Lord, for blessing, you know, my marriage. I just want to tell you, my marriage is going through a tough... Well, the devil hears that. Then he comes against it. But he can't when you pray in the Spirit. But man, we've been so against that. And trust me, I'm a little old Southern Baptist boy. My grandma took me to the Pentecostal church when I was a little Baptist boy. Woo! That was different. The praise and worship was different. There was people screaming, shaking a tambourine off beat. It was different, man. It was different. It's like, wow. But yet, they worshiped. And you're going to see that in heaven. So what am I saying this morning? It's time that we get in agreement that the Word of God will prevail. Our God will not fail us. And number two, the only way to do it is by the Word of God. And we've got to start learning it and receiving it and being who we are in Christ Jesus. And when we get to that place, watch what God does. You'll see people that come out in victory instead of being the victim all the time. You'll want to be around that person. Man, he may go through some stuff, but he gets on through it. He don't let it dwell on him. That's what we need today more than any other time, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you're a wonderful God. You're a God that knows the number of hairs on our head. You want to be so intimate with us. You know every sparrow that flies. But Father, if there's one person that does not know you, I ask you to begin to draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' name. I want to ask y'all a question that are here. I know there's new people. Maybe you've never been here before. Maybe you've never been around preaching like this. I don't know about y'all, but wow, I slept in a lot of churches growing up. And I just think that it's time that we don't sleep any longer. That there's some power. That man, when the Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, it means just that. But He needs to be the Lord of your life. Is He your Savior? If you left this earth, do you know where you'll go? There's only two places, heaven and hell. The reason I travel out there and I'm away from my church is I want people to go to heaven. Even if there was, what, 4, 5, 6 in Mulvane, Kansas that gave their lives to Jesus, it was worth it. Dozens in California. No, I don't even think there was, as I'm reminded, I don't think there was any in Mulvane. But there was in San Angelo, and I know there's salvations here, thank God. But see, the point is, that's my heart. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. But I can't make you go to heaven. The Bible says God sets it before you, life and death. And He says, choose life. So I'm going to ask you to choose life this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus, the Son of God, not a church, not a preacher, Jesus, I want you to do it right now. What we're going to do at this church is if you've never given your heart to the Lord, we're going to pray a prayer and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. And all the believers in here, you'll find out, they're going to pray it with you. So I want all believers and people that don't know what would happen to them if they left this earth and they died, I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray it out loud. I want you going to heaven and not hell. And this is the only way to get to the Father in heaven, according to John 14. Jesus, He's the way, truth, and life. So pray this prayer with me. Believers, I want you to pray it. But I want anybody in here or watching us online, if you've never given your life to Jesus, pray this prayer and ask Him to come into your life right now. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe God raised Him from the dead. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my friend, but be my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my Savior, and I have given my life to you. And when I die, I'm leaving, but I'm going to heaven and not hell. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just real fast, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time this morning, you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I just want you to be bold enough to just raise your hand, say, that was me, and then just put it right back down. I didn't say come down to the front. You don't have to. But I want you to be bold enough to not be ashamed that you gave your life to Jesus. I don't care how many times you've been to church. If you just gave your life to Jesus this morning, you prayed that prayer, you get that hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness. 1, 2, 3. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that back there. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm honored. Thank you so much, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I hadn't seen your hand, no one's looking around, slip it up, let me see it, and I want these guys to hand you a Bible. Just slip it up, let me see it, and then just put it right back down. Amen? Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God someone gave their love to the Lord. Love it. It's amazing. It's still amazing how many people get saved at this church. So it's time. I believe God's causing the harvest to come in. Amen. Did y'all have a good time? If you don't mind, again, as we just before we're dismissed, if you need prayer, you come down here and we'll pray for you. I mean, that's what we do. Amen. Men's conference, make sure you go to the website. We need to know the count. It's $25 for the men. And we're going to feed you fajita. It's going to be a good time. Don't miss it, please. But we need to know. Go to the website, wccowboychurch.org. You go to a little green button, give. Then it says fund. And you push on fund and it gives you, you can give to the church, kids ministry. And then it has a place for men's and women's conference. Hit men's conference and that way we'll know. I see it immediately, actually. And so that way we know. Make it a big deal to you. Amen. They asked me to ask you, if you don't mind, when we leave, we're going to try to take all the chairs up. And by the way, kids' church, it's almost done. The floor's got, y'all need to go back there and check it out. The floor's got stained. And now we're going to put the doors on and get that rolling, the baseboards and all that good stuff. So thank you so much, all y'all that give towards that. Everything we do is debt-free here. Amen. Love you guys very much. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Yes, sir. Yeah, I remember that. Thank you, Mike. As y'all know, in 3 weeks, I'm doing that service at the national finals. A lot of you have said you're coming because I need some ushers to help. And that's what you would do with different things. When they take up the offering, we need people to kind of have a hold of those buckets because you just don't know who's there. And so there's a sign-up sheet if you know you're going. I need to know it. And then there's also hotel information. If you don't have a hotel, Mike, he has a great place that's like 4 miles down from the Globe Life Field. Pretty reasonable priced. Right there, pretty close, is very expensive. But just down the road is pretty good prices. So if you want to go and be a part of that one service, then make sure you sign up in the back. Amen? Yes, ma'am. And then, yeah, you know Doris? We're going to pray for her right now. She always calls people. She's needing just the things that she's going through. She needs us to sign up to give her some meals. She needs help. And that's what the body of Christ does. So Judge Stout, she's going to be in the back. Judge, would you? I want you to go and say, hey, I can fix her a meal tomorrow. Or if we start a little train and there's something on our website that will help, or Facebook that will help us. Man, if enough of us will help her, she's going through a tough time. And we need to lift her up in Jesus' name. Amen? Is there anything else? Anything else? All right. Father, we lift up Doris right now. We thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I come against every attack, the things that are giving her anxiety where she don't even want to be by herself right now. I just thank you, Lord, that she has you. She has that comfort. Cause her body to line up with the Word of God and get normal. And we just pray in Jesus' name that she is already healed. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you, Lord, for just all the hard work of all the women, Betsy and her team that made that women's conference such a success. I know they labored, sir. I know they worked so hard in the decorations and even at the end putting the tables up. God bless them, sir. I thank you for the impact that was made in the women's lives. I lift up the men's conference this Saturday. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be powerful. And Father, we're going to be there just to receive from you. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing for the two people that gave their lives to you this morning. We praise you. We give you thanks. Now, as we know, you don't stay here. You'll be here when we're here because you never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So on Tuesday night for Bible study, you get to be here. When we come back next week, you're here. But now you get to go with us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.